Happy Father's Day to everybody. I had a card, I can't complain. Somebody might have dropped some hints, but I had a card. I want us to start by thinking, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? There's lots of ways to describe a Christian. We could describe a Christian as a soldier, all sorts of things. But today, we're going to focus on a Christian is someone who knows God as Father. A Christian is somebody who knows God as Father. The Bible doesn't tell us anywhere that God is the Father of everyone. But it does tell us that God is our Father if we're a Christian. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It says in Galatians chapter 3. In Christ Jesus. So we know God as Father in Christ Jesus through faith. That's how we know God as Father. And Jesus Christ himself said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." That's the only way we can know God as Father, through Jesus Christ. We're not born into it. We don't inherit it. We don't get taught it. It's by believing and coming through Jesus Christ. And that's what makes us a Christian. And there's a lovely book by Jim Packer called Knowing God. And in that book, he says basically that he thinks that knowing God as Father is one of the most fundamental things that we can know about God and our relationship with God. And he's written a whole book about God as our judge. God saves us. God does this, God does that, God does the other. But he says, actually, Father is the Christian name for God. If you want to know how somebody's Christian life is, ask them how much they know God as their Father. How do they worship God? Do they worship God as their Father? That's the test of our Christian faith. It's like number one. And one of the things that he pointed out that he's noticed is in the Gospel of John, right from the beginning of Gospel of John, in chapter 1 and verse 12, it says that we are adopted as sons. And right at the end, it says that I am going to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. But I just want to have a look at a few other things in the Gospel of John. So Gospel of John, chapter 3. If you've already got Luke 11 open, don't lose it, because we're going to come back to that. This is just my introduction. But if we have a look at Gospel of John and chapter 3, which is on page 1065, 1065, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'll just read from the beginning. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God was not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they're old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born.' And Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again.'" And that's how we have God as our Father. We come to him to be born again. And notice what it says about the Holy Spirit. We're born by the Holy Spirit. And that comes up again and again, as I hope we'll see as we go through this. So a couple of pages back, John chapter 1, which is just the previous page, verse 12. My Father and your Father, he says at the end, but here, verse 12 at the beginning. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And that's not talking about being born into the family. That's talking about being adopted into the family. In some ways, the way that God loves us, adopting us, I think in some ways is even more special than if we had kind of been born into the family. The people who are born into your family, you're just stuck with, aren't you? That's them. But the people you adopt, in a special sort of way, you have loved them extra specially to adopt them into your family. We are adopted by God and we become his sons that way. And Galatians chapter 4 is on page 1170. 1170, Galatians chapter 4. And this talks about us being adopted as God's children. Galatians 4 and starting at verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are God's child, God has also made you an heir. Again, we see the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit within us that recognizes God as our Father. And by the Holy Spirit, we say, Abba, Father. Abba is a word that means kind of daddy, almost. It's a familiar family word, what a child calls their father. Now, I'm quite interested in my family tree. It's a good excuse for me to show you a picture of my father, who died some years ago. And I have a picture of my grandfather, and I'm lucky enough to have a picture of my great-grandfather. And you will see that my father never met his grandfather. I met my grandfather, but when I was 2 at the time. And I never saw him, and don't remember him at all. So we have a family tree. You're very, very lucky, because I've only showed you 3 people out of my family tree. It's one of my hobbies, and I have a database with 3,000 people on it. So I'll skip forward. But think about it as a family. If we are God's children, and we are children then of the King, you are a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. It's fantastic. I don't know sometimes if we take it in. We just sometimes take it too much for granted that God is our Father. What does it mean that God is our Father? Yes, he's our friend. Yes, he's our King. But today we're thinking about God being our Father. It means that we're under God's authority in the same way as the Father has a role in the household of being the head of the family. God is over us. He is in authority over us. It's a different sort of a picture from God being over us as a king. It's a more intimate way that God is in authority over us. We are in God's love. As a father loves his children, so God loves us. Does anybody really understand what it's like to be you? Sometimes we wonder. Nobody seems to understand me. God understands. God made us. God knows us. God is our Father. God understands the things that even our closest friends and even our closest family don't understand. And God is our provider. In the same way as a father provides for the family and provides for the children, God provides for us. There's lots of things that it means that God is our Father. I'm going to stop there and I'm going to move on to Luke chapter 11, which is our passage for this morning. It's on page 1042 if you've lost it. 1042, Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples, I'd like to know who it was. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And I'd just like to point out this whole prayer is addressed to God as our Father. In a sense, half of it is expressed to God and asking for God's will to be done as our Father, and half of it is about us and our side and what we want God to provide. So we recognize God's authority, and we understand his love, and we ask for his provision, which is why I thought I'd highlight those three points earlier. Just as an aside, really, I'd like to point out that it doesn't say, "Give me today my daily bread, forgive me my sins, lead me not into temptation." This is a prayer we use together. It's a family prayer, and it's a prayer especially for us to pray. That doesn't mean you can't ask God for your daily bread. It just means this prayer is given for us to pray together. And I think sometimes, and I'm probably preaching to the converted here, I think sometimes we get this idea that we could just watch a preacher on television and we can be a private Christian. It's not in the Bible. This is a prayer for people to pray together. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." The translators have had great fun translating this passage, and those of you who grew up with the AV will recognize it says something quite different now. There's a lot of research being done on it, but I haven't got time to explain all of that. I would just like to point out that this is a prayer, in a sense, it's a model. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, he said, here's a story for you to think about in prayer. A friend, someone goes to their friend and says, can you lend me 3 loaves of bread? And so it's teaching us that our prayers are not all about, give me today my daily bread. They're about, give us today our daily bread. I have somebody I want to feed. I'm asking on behalf of someone else. And that's another model for us as learning about how God wants us to pray. Some of our prayers are for us to pray for other people's needs so that they can be helped. Lend me 3 loaves of bread for a friend of mine. And 3 loaves of bread was more than the bare minimum. It was a nice thing. You know, this friend has arrived at midnight. He's not got enough food. He's going to give him 3 loaves of bread. Whatever size these loaves were. I seem to have lost my page here. Thank you. These loaves of bread, what he was asking for was something to give him a proper meal. And probably, given Middle Eastern hospitality, so much that he couldn't actually eat it all and he'd have to say, you're such a good host, you've given me far more than I need. And that's how God gives to us. When it says, give us today our daily bread in the prayer, it's not asking, give us enough to keep me alive. It's asking for everything that we need for the day, enough. And knowing God, it'll be enough and to spare. That's how we are to pray. So, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You might find it helpful to think of it like this, that when we ask, that's us praying for God for a particular need. It might be for us, and it might be for someone else. When we seek, we're looking for the answer. In faith, we're looking to see what answer God has given us. And when we knock, we're knocking on doors to try and move forward in God's will and try out what is next. I find that helpful. I hope you do. Ask. And interestingly, in English it spells out, ask, seek, and knock reminds us with the three letters A, S, and K. James, in his book, if you want, I'm going to quote it very, very quickly, so you may want to not flick over the page. It's on page 1215 if you want to look. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. A Christian life is not just sort of, well, I'm a Christian now. Things will just sort of arrive from heaven whenever I need them. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, ask, seek, knock. James reminded his readers, you don't have what you want, what you're desiring, because you don't ask. And sometimes you do ask, but you're asking for the wrong motives. And so God, your heavenly Father, who knows what's best, doesn't give that to you. You're asking so that you can spend it on something that's wrong. You don't receive because you have the wrong motives. And it's a challenge to us to think, why am I asking? Am I actually asking like Jesus taught us to ask, or is it all me, me, me? We've spoken already, and Christine's helpfully pointed out that some of us have a problem when we think about our human fathers. We think, actually, they're not a very good role model, and if God's like that, well, I wouldn't want to know God. The Bible does not pretend that our human fathers are wonderful. The Bible, in this passage, Jesus said, you give these good gifts, but you are evil. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jacob, whose other name was Israel, who was the father of the tribe of Israel, he was a dreadful father. He's not a role model at all. The Bible doesn't pretend that our human fathers are perfect, but it does point to some things in our human fathers that we can see and some aspects which help us to understand what God is like. If our human fathers can have some measure of goodness, how much more will your heavenly Father provide what you need? He won't give you something second best. He won't give you something that will harm you. He will give you what you need. He will provide. Sometimes we need to forgive our human fathers. Interesting, isn't it, as we look at it from this point of view, that the Lord's Prayer, praying to our Father in heaven, says, forgive us as we forgive everyone who sins against us. Maybe sometimes, maybe today, it's the right time to forgive our fathers for the times when they have let us down. And the Holy Spirit, I just feel this morning I was given free rein what to preach on. And I wanted to preach on Father's Day, but I just feel that it's right to preach about the Holy Spirit. We do not know God as Father except by the Holy Spirit. And this passage concludes, how much more will your Father in heaven give? And it doesn't say good gifts. You'd sort of expect it to say, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? It actually says the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that mean that is the best, the greatest, the most important gift that God can give? It's a gift that God gives us. We need God's Holy Spirit to understand who God is, that He is our Father. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us to live. We need the Spirit, sometimes described as the Spirit of Christ, to help us. James, again, page 1213, if you want to have a quick look. James 1, verse 17. God, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. I think it's a shame we don't sing all good gifts around us except on harvest. But all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. And I'd like to finish by quoting from the book of Romans. This is on page 1135. It gives me a little opportunity to mention that we've got coming up a series we're going to be looking at the book of Romans in the autumn. But a sneak peek at a wonderful book in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, and this is on page 1135. I'd just like to read from, read verse 24. Romans 8 and verse 24. I'm going to the opticians this week. No, it's not 24, is it? 14, thank you. The Spirit, yeah. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That's how we know that God is our Father. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share with his sufferings, in order that we may also share with his glory. We none of us know how long we have to live. If you haven't asked God for his Holy Spirit, please do today. If you already received God's Holy Spirit, maybe ask for more. If you want to know God as Father, ask. Ask, seek, knock, pray. Somebody who knows God as Father is a Christian. Amen.